Who needs caffeine? I know I could use some right about now. You know, it is pretty tough to imagine an American city that does not have a coffee shop. In a lot of places, Starbucks blazed the trail, followed by other chains, and then the hip, locally owned coffee shops. The variety of flavors and roasts we drink has certainly evolved, from those big brands, the Folgers, the Maxwell Houses, to regionally labeled coffees, and now to beans sourced from farms, not just from countries. So what is in the future for the actual brick-and-mortar coffee shop? We're joined now by Anya Pomacala. She's the chief barista at Zingerman's Coffee Company in Ann Arbor. So good to have you with us, Anya.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome from Grand Rapids, we have Ryan Knapp, who's the co-founder and director of coffee for Madcap Coffee. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good. I'm going to start with you, Ryan. How long have you been in coffee? What brought you to coffee?
Yeah, really, it all started with the same introduction a lot of people have where, you know, you just need a cup of coffee. Everyone's doing it, so you say, why not? I really fell in love with that coffee shop experience about 8 years back.
What about you, Anya? What brought you to coffee for your avocation?
Well, like most college students, I was in a desperate need of caffeine. ended up at a small coffee roastery in the Upper Peninsula where I went to school, and just hung out there enough that they decided to hire me, and it was all downhill from there.
What do you think, and I'll start with you, Anya, what changes do you think you have seen in coffee shops in the time you've been in the business and in what you're selling?
Well, I think coffee shops really originated out of people's desire for a third space. They need a place to go where they're not at home and having to do home things, and they're not at work doing work things. They're at another place where they can think independent outside of that and meet with people that they wouldn't otherwise experience. I think that's really what helped build coffee shops, and definitely, historically speaking, it has. In the United States specifically, I think the drive for really high-quality coffee comes out of a movement for people looking for something more than what they've had, more than what their parents had.
And what's your perspective, Ryan? What have you seen?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, a lot of what brings people to a coffee shop is that community, a place to sit and be with other people. And it's an exciting time because as I was getting into it, they'd already started on to what they've kind of viewed as kind of this third wave type of thing where it was becoming a lot more about the coffee. It was becoming highlighting origins. It was becoming how can we make the very, very, very best cup of coffee. And I think something that we kind of suffered through the specialty coffee movement back then is coffee people, you know, myself included, I was in that boat. We got so excited about coffee that we sometimes forgot about the bigger picture, and that's delivering a fantastic experience. So I feel like we're really trying to get back to that spot where, you know, we want to deliver the very, 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 very best coffee, and a lot goes into that. But at the end of the day, we also want to provide this fantastic experience. So when somebody walks through that door, they're not only getting a superb cup of coffee, but it's getting served in great glassware. The baristas are being very friendly, and maybe they'll learn something when they walk away.
How did it suffer, do you think, Ryan, when you were all caught up in the product?
I think for a lot of us, you know, I can admit, you know, I've been there, but for a lot of our industry, we got so, like, starstruck with this idea where we're like, oh, my gosh, coffee is as complex as wine. Some could argue it's even more complex with all the work that goes into it. And just realizing that when you really break it down and look at it, you know, there's hundreds of different varieties. There's little pockets of microclimates all over the world that each microclimate, each soil, each variety, and all of this process produces a new, outstanding, unique flavor. And I think as a whole, the coffee industry kind of went through a phase where it's like, we really want to like cram this exciting information down everyone's throats. And I think we're kind of backing off and saying, you know, you can have a good experience and a good cup of coffee without knowing everything about it. And then trying to balance out how we give information and maybe even the personality that we give it to. So I think the same can be true with some great restaurants or great wine bars. Sometimes with a great product, pretension comes along with it. So I think as an industry, we're really saying we don't want that to come along with coffee because it shouldn't be involved with coffee at
all. A coffee shop should never be pretentious.
That's my opinion, yeah.
If you just joined us, we're talking coffee and coffee shops as we speak with Ryan Knapp, who's the co-founder and director of coffee for Madcap Coffee in Grand Rapids, joined by Anya Pamakala, who's the chief barista at Zingerman's Coffee Company in Ann Arbor. And Anya, it does seem that coffee has been especially instrumental in getting us to think about food justice and bringing to the forefront fair trade and labor as we think about food. Am I right about that, that coffee seemed to start that, and do you see that continuing?
You know, I couldn't speak to whether or not it started. It absolutely is more prominent in people's minds. It's easy, much easier now than it has ever been to go into a store and find coffee that has a fair trade label and has, you know, a Rainforest Alliance label or is shade grown and good for the birds. And it's wonderful and definitely a really important part of the industry. But it's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to looking for quality and looking for fair prices for growers. It's good to have that consciousness. I'm excited to see the next step of where we're going to go with that consciousness for our customer base.
Where do you think it might go?
I'm really hoping that it goes more along the lines of knowing exactly who grows it, getting more growers' names on the bag. What's the person who actually grew it? How much are they as an individual getting paid instead of having more of a middle person who's saying that we're doing this, having the consumer actually know that, like, Carlos, grew mm-hmm. this in Huelo and having a broader scope. It's much like having your local gardener and knowing that this farm grew my cabbage and they grew my carrots and who actually grew your coffee.
I want to shift our conversation a bit to the experience of coming into a coffee shop. And as you both know well, one of the big issues all around the country for coffee shops are folks coming in, plugging their laptops into that free Wi-Fi and parking themselves for hours. I have seen the term laptop hobos as I was doing a search on this. And I kind of wondered, how do you balance the desire of folks to roost in your coffee shop for a good long period with the desire of people who want a table to sit in when they do come in? Is that something you struggle with at Madcap Coffee, Ryan?
I don't think so, really. You know, like, we've got some fantastic customers, and we get to see their faces on a daily basis, and sometimes they'll plug in a laptop and spend some time there. If you want to just have that, you know, Italian experience to step up to the bar, sip an espresso, and leave, we've got a space for that. My only hope would be if you sit for a while, make sure you tip your barista. You know, they'll love it. You know, they earned it too.
That's true. How do you handle this question at Zingerman's?
We don't really differentiate between our customers because a customer is a customer regardless. And mm-hmm. if they come in and bring their laptop and want to sit for a long period of time, I try to view it as a compliment. They come to us because they enjoy our space, they enjoy our company, and ideally they also enjoy our product. We do have a separate section in case of an overflow of customers
sure.
where people who want to spend more of a communal time can work. But we try not to differentiate their customers regardless. Mm. And if they want to sit there for 8 hours, that's fine. It's good to have their company. And I would completely tag on with Ryan and say, if you're going to hang out, baristas really appreciate the tips.
I always add money to the cup after.
Is awesome.
It does also seem to me that there's some degree of back and forthing for coffee shops about how far you go in offering food beyond the scones and the muffins and the other pastries. Do you think you need to have food to survive as a coffee shop? And I know, Anya, your perspective is part of the world-famous Zingerman's. You bring a little something different to the conversation. I want to start with Ryan on that, just because you don't have the power of a great Zingerman sandwich behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we don't have that. No, but fortunately, you know, we've teamed up. Our focus at Madcap has been, you know, let's do coffee and let's do it as well as we can. And that's been a big enough challenge to try to perfect buying, roasting, brewing, and serving coffee really well. So for us, we just said, let's be as simple as possible with our focus so that we can do it really well. And let's seek out great partners if we're going to do anything else.
I'm wondering what, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, your hopes for the coffee shops and coffee looking ahead for the next 10 years, Anya. But give us a sense of what, I'll start with you, what your hopes are and what you see in the next decade for coffee shops, what you'll be selling, and what the experience will be for the customer.
Well, I think that the coffee industry is at this really unique, wonderful stage. We've gone through the introduction of coffee to the global economy. We've gone through improving the quality through time. And now, as Ryan mentioned, we're really working on improving the service side of it, giving the customers a really good experience without being overbearing, having a space to have more education on the product that people consume on a nearly daily basis. It's hard to fathom where exactly it's going to go because I feel like we're at a stage where anything could happen. Mm. I would love to see more small roasters all over the country where people rely on someone that they know personally. Having that interaction with your roaster, with your barista, is really just the next step to building a community of people who care about the product, and not just the people who make it every day, but the people who drink it every day. I mean, I drink lots of coffee, but it doesn't help if, you know, yes, if you think that Folgers is the best thing, or, you know, sure, coffee that you're getting at the gas station is the pinnacle of your coffee experience. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the creative group of people that are working in this economy is really going to create.
And from where you sit, Ryan, what are your hopes?
I'm really excited, and we've already seen this to a great degree, but I'm, of course, looking to push forward with it, is just really high-end, delicious cups of coffee. I'm on the road about a quarter of the year, you know, visiting producers, visiting small farms, and just discovering new, beautiful, small plots of lands all over the world. And there's producers out there that are putting so much time and energy into producing coffee that is, you know, just mind-blowing, just really amazing. So I'm really excited just to see that grow and awareness being brought back to the people who put a lot of work into making coffee possible, because it's a very labor-intensive beverage.
And it's one that I dare say most of us would not be able to live without. That was Ryan Knapp. He's co-founder and director of coffee with Madcap Coffee in Grand Rapids. And he was joined by Anya Pamakala, who's the chief barista at Zingerman's Coffee Company in Ann Arbor. And now you've both got me wanting a great, big, gorgeous cup of coffee. So thank you so much for joining us on Stateside.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.